Welcome once again to Good Oak Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to Romans chapter 11. And we've been in this chapter for about 3 weeks. So what I thought we'd do is, before we completely close out chapter 11, is I thought we'd just go ahead and bring up some of the things that we've covered in the chapter so far, and then go ahead and bring the chapter to a close. There's a question asked in verse 1, hath God cast away his people? And he's talking about the nation of Israel, the nation that in the old covenant that he had chosen to give the scriptures to give the temple to, and to bring the Messiah through. Has he cast them away is the question. And of course, the answer was, God forbid. And he pointed out in the text that God was still saving Jews. Those that are physically born a Jew, God is still saving Jews. He said in verse 2, God has not cast away his people that he foreknew. Of course, God set his before the foundation of the world, whom he foreknew, he predestinated, and whom he predestinates, he calls, who he calls, he justifies. So he had a remnant at that time according to the election of grace. That's what he says in verse 5. It says, even so, at this present time, there is a remnant, that's a remnant of Jews, according to the election of grace. And he said, it's by grace. It's not of works. It's of God's sovereign grace. So he had pointed out in the text that in times past, there was been a remnant. And he went back to the days of Elijah. And in the days of Elijah, it was a very sinful time. Yet God had a remnant then. He said, as a matter of fact, Elijah said that he was the only one left. He was left alone. But God said that he had 7,000 men. He had reserved 7,000 men that had not bowed a knee to Baal. So the point of it is that God had a remnant. And he went on to point out, even so at this present time, there is a remnant. So he pointed out that God hadn't cast away his people, that there was still a remnant of Jews that were being saved. Then he went on to tell us about an olive tree. And the olive tree is mentioned in Romans 11, verse 17, and he just used an illustration. And this olive tree represents the nation of Israel. And it represents the nation of Israel under the new covenant. The Bible is divided in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. That's Old Covenant and New Covenant. And under the new covenant, there was a change that took place in Israel. And that's what he's telling us about here in Romans chapter 11. He likens Israel to a olive tree. And one of the things he points out in the text is that in the new covenant, the Gentiles are made a part of this olive tree called Israel. Now, as I pointed out in the past, in the Old Testament scriptures, Israel is likened in some text to an olive tree. And he maintains that illustration here in Romans chapter 11. And this olive tree in Romans 11 represents Israel. Israel under the new covenant. And who is part of Israel under the new covenant? Well, it says that the Gentiles are grafted in this olive tree. They're grafted in. In other words, they're made a part of Israel under the new covenant. And then the unbelieving in Israel, it says, are broken off. And the idea is, of course, under the new covenant, the only people that are in this olive tree of Israel are those that are saved. Saved Jews and saved Gentiles, but they're all made a part of the olive tree. And we looked at that last week. When you're saved, you're a part of this olive tree. Well, what's this olive tree called? This olive tree is Israel. It represents Israel under the new covenant, and Israel under the new covenant is made up of saved Jews and saved Gentiles. It contains no unbelieving in it. It says the branches were broken off in the text because of unbelief. And the only ones that's in this tree, in verse 20 it says, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. And verse 23 goes on to say, if they abide not still in unbelief, they shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So everyone that is in this olive tree of Israel, regardless of their physical birth, whether they were born a Gentile or born a Jew, those that are in this olive tree of Israel under the new covenant, consists of all those that have had a new birth. They've been born again. And whether they've been born a Gentile, they are made a Jew by new birth. And whether they were born a Jew, they are made a spiritual Jew by new birth. Remember, Romans 2 said, he is not a Jew which is one inwardly, but he is a Jew which is one outwardly. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart. So he had pointed out in Romans 2 that the true Jew is those who have trusted Christ. You say, well, does that mean that the Gentile replaced the Jew? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The believing Jew has a place in this olive tree as the believing Gentile. The only exception is they're made one in Jesus Christ. We're part of the same nation, have the same heavenly home, have the same heavenly Father, you see, one. But the vision says that he's made both one in Christ Jesus. So Philippians 3 says we are the circumcision. And the circumcision was a name that was used for God's people in the Old Testament. And circumcision was used for the Gentiles. It says we are the circumcision, which worship God in the spirit, rejoice in Messiah Jesus, and don't have any confidence in the flesh. That's who the true Jew is. Does a Jew have a place in this olive tree? They sure do. They sure do. If they've trusted in Christ as their Savior, then they have a place. Does a Gentile have a place in this olive tree? Absolutely. If they've trusted Christ as their Savior. You see, you stand in this tree by faith. So, that's a tremendous blessing, is it not? So, that's what we looked at. Is God still saving Jews? That was the question in verse 1. If he's cast them away, God forbid. There's still a remnant according to his grace. And under the new covenant, Israel changed. In what sense? Israel is made up of all believers. All those that have had a new birth are a part of this olive tree of Israel. And that's a blessing to the Gentile. And it's also a blessing to the Jew. The difference is we are now one in Christ Jesus. Okay? So the next thing we looked at after showing that God's still saving Jews and showing the olive tree, which is what we looked at, now we come down into the text and we want to begin at verse 27. Now it says, as concerning the gospel, it says that they are enemies. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Now, it says that they were enemies. They were enemies. Now, that's true of anyone that's unsaved, really. Anyone that's never been born again. Before we were born again, we were enemies. Romans chapter 5, in talking about those, it says, verse 9 and 10, much more being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. You see, we were enemies, but we were reconciled by the death of Christ's son. See, now we went from being a position of being an enemy to being at peace with God. Now, there's only two positions to be in. Either you have peace with God or you're God's enemy. Well, here it says in back to Romans chapter 11 and verse 28, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. And that just simply means that as a whole, most of the Jews, especially back in Jesus' day, had rejected Jesus as being the Messiah. They were enemies. And one of the blessings that happened as a result of that was then is that the Lord began to save the Gentiles. Was he still saving Jews? Remember back Romans 11, 1? Absolutely. There was always a remnant. And there always will be a remnant of Jews by physical birth that the Lord saves and makes them part of that olive tree. But the one thing we have in common is everyone in that olive tree has had a new birth. Everyone in that olive tree is a spiritual Jew. So, in the book of Acts chapter 13, here you have an example of where the physical descendants of Abraham, the Jew according to physical birth, not all, but you have an example of how they rejected Jesus. They rejected the message. You can see it in the ministry of the Messiah, but you can also see it in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 13, it says, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. This is multitudes of Gentiles that had trusted in Jesus. And they spake against these things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Of course, Paul preached that you were saved through Jesus. If you look back up in Acts 13:38, be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, this is Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. If you're going to have forgiveness of sins, you have to trust Jesus. And then when you trust Jesus, your sins are forgiven and paid for by Jesus. Verse 39, for by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. So by him is Jesus. All that believe are justified from all things. That was the message Paul preached. And many of the Gentiles believed that message. It says, let me go ahead and read the text in verse 41. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall nowise believe. And when the Jews were going out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these things might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed upon Barnabas, who, speaking with them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost a whole city to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. And they spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. Remember, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But seeing ye put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. So there you have an example of what he's saying here in this particular text. They were enemies, but as a result of that, the gospel message then was taking to the Jew. And that's what he's been saying in the text. Back to Romans 11:11, it says, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, talking about the Jew, by physical birth, salvation has come to the Gentile. So he's basically in verse 28 saying the same thing. Now he goes on to say, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. So there he mentions election again, and he's mentioned election throughout the different, and from Romans 9 on, he's mentioned election, the word election, several times. And what we've seen in verse 5 of Romans chapter 11 is he mentioned election there too. Now let me read it to you. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant. It's a remnant of Jews according to election. Some were enemies. Some were enemies. Others trust Christ. Why do they trust Christ? Well, it's because of election. They are beloved for the Father's sakes. Election just simply means that God chose. He'd been righteous in letting all perish, but God in his grace saves a remnant. And aren't you glad? Aren't you so very glad? But what makes the difference is the Lord. 1 Corinthians says, who made you to differ from another? Well, God's the one that does that. He left you alone. If it wasn't for God interceding in your life and making you alive and drawing you and calling you and open your old blinded eyes, then you'd still be in your sin. You'd still be an enemy. Let's move on to verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Now, the greatest gift that God ever gave was the gift of everlasting life, the gift of salvation. And with that gift are as many gifts that are associated with that, is there not? You're justified. You're forgiven for all your sins. You have an inheritance. You have a home in the Father's house, and on we could go. These gifts that are associated with salvation and the calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't call someone and then change his mind about it. When he calls you And let's go ahead and look. The word calling is used in different places, but back in Romans chapter 8 in particular, it was used, and we talked about calling when we was there. It says, "For whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified." And this is an inward calling. This is an inward calling. And in the inward call is when he speaks to a person's heart. And he opens their understanding and he draws them unto himself. John 6:44 says that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, why does it say no man can come? Because men will not come. They will not come. Jesus said, "You will not come to me that ye might have life." And no man can, because he is dead in trespasses and sins. His heart is closed to the things of the Lord and will continue to be unless it is opened by the quickening power of the Spirit of the living God. So the gifts and the calling of God is without repentance. When he calls you, he doesn't change his mind and throw you back. That's a tremendous promise, is it not? He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his mind. The calling of God, and this is a call to salvation, is without repentance. And all the blessings that are associated with salvation are without repentance. And all those promises to Abraham, he's not going to change his mind. All those promises to Israel under the Old Covenant, he's not going to change his mind about those either. There's going to come a time when we will be in a perfect nation. We'll be under the rule of a perfect king. We'll be in a place where there's no sickness, pain, sorrow, and death. All those are promises from God, and they are without repentance. They're going to happen. He's not going to change his mind about all of those things. The only thing that is different today from Israel under the Old Covenant is that under the New Covenant, the only ones in that olive tree are those that are born again, those that are saved. And the difference also is the Jew and the Gentile are one in Christ. We're part of the same tree. We're part of the same nation. We're part of the same kingdom. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 is a prophecy of the new covenant. I should have read that a little while ago, but I'm going to go ahead and take the time to read that now. I want you to listen to this in Jeremiah 31:31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant." A new covenant. See, your Bible's divided, Old Covenant, New Covenant. "I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel." Now, who is the house of Israel today? The house of Israel is all the saved. The house of Israel is everyone that's born again. The seed of Abraham is all that be of faith. The circumcision, we are the circumcision, which rejoice in Messiah Jesus and don't have no confidence in the flesh. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. See, that's who the house of Israel is today. He, Jew and Gentile, that's had a new birth. It says, "It's not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I've been a husband unto them." Now listen to the new covenant. "This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their inward parts." You see, in the old covenant, he put the law on tables of stone, didn't he? "Under the new covenant, which is based on faith in Jesus Christ, he will put his law in your heart." Now, that's what he does when he saves your soul. "I will put my law in your inward parts, and I'll write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." See, that's a big difference. Now, the old covenant was written on tables of stone. But the new covenant, he says, "I will write my laws on your heart." Well, that produces a change in a person, does it not? When you're born again and you trust Christ as your Savior, he writes these laws on your heart. And that produces in you a desire to want to obey and follow the Lord. Now, this is repeated in the book of Hebrews. "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my law in their heart and in their mind. And I will write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more." So that's what the promise was in the new covenant. That's a great gift, is it not? The new covenant's a great gift. And salvation under the new covenant is a great gift. Notice what it says. Let me read on. So he'll write his laws in your heart. Verse 34 of Jeremiah 31. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For shall they all know me. For they shall all know me, it says in Jeremiah 31, 34. What does it mean, they all? The whole house of Israel will know him. Now, how does that make sense? Romans 11 shows you how it makes sense. In Romans 11, the house of Israel is pictured as an olive tree. And the only ones in that olive tree is those that have, by faith, trusted Jesus. So, in that sense and in that way, they all know me. Everyone in the olive tree is people that knows the Lord. And that's what the new covenant states. That was the promise of the new covenant in the book of Jeremiah. They all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them. And I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. And that's the same covenant that this old saved, born again Gentile named Jeff Arthur. This is the same benefit that I have. That's the same covenant that I'm under. And I'm so forever grateful tonight to be grafted in that olive tree of Israel and made part of his nation, part of his people. Does that exclude the Jewish people? Absolutely not. It makes you take the gospel to the Jewish people. And then the Lord, as he said in verse 23 of Romans 11, if they abide not still in unbelief, they'll be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Let's go back to our text in Romans 11 now and look at verse 30. For as ye in times past have not believed God, he's talking about the Gentile, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. That's talking about we've obtained mercy. You know, mercy isn't something we earned, is it? Mercy is something that the Lord gave us. He bestowed upon us his mercy. None deserves it. None deserves it. That's why it's called mercy. But we obtained it. See, that means that mercy is a gift that the Lord bestows upon people. He bestows it upon Gentiles and he bestows it also upon Jews. And when we receive the Lord's mercy and we're born again and we trust Jesus, then we're made a part of that olive tree of Israel again. See, we have obtained mercy. Now, when we mentioned this earlier in the lesson tonight, when the Jews forsook, the physical Jews forsook, you see Paul turning to the Gentiles. And that's the idea. We obtained mercy through their unbelief. Now, verse 31 says, even so, have these also now not believed that through your mercy, now listen to this now, through your mercy, they may obtain mercy. Again, talking about because the Gentiles received mercy, then we take the message to the Jews, and the Lord has a remnant of Jews that he's still saving. You take the message to them, and they obtain mercy. There's vessels of mercy among Gentiles. There's vessels of mercy also amongst the Jews. And the Lord saves them through the preaching of the gospel message, and then the Holy Spirit opens their heart, and he draws them with that particular message. And he makes them a part of his nation, which is Israel. Okay? What a tremendous blessing that indeed is. Now, as I've mentioned almost since I've been in Romans 9 through 11 several times, the reason why we received the gospel is because God used the Jews to bring it to us. I love the Jewish people. And we need to return the favor. And we need to support missions that takes the gospel to the Jews. And we need to pray for their salvation too. Because there is even today a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 32 says, for God hath concluded all in unbelief, that's Jew and Gentile, that he might have mercy upon all. You see, there's a remnant amongst the Gentiles. And there's a remnant amongst the Jews. Now, in verses verse 33 through 36, Paul breaks out into praise. As he's looked at this great chapter 11 and he showed the mercy of the Lord, and he showed the making perfect of the nation of Israel under the new covenant. And as he talked about the remnant that shall be saved, he breaks out into praise as a result of God's mercy. And God's mercy should move you to praise him. If it wasn't for his mercy, we would yet be in our sin. You see, it is again God that made us to differ from another. So listen to this mercy. Listen to this praise. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. Just praising God for his wisdom and knowledge in saving us as sinners. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? None can teach the master. God knows all things, and the greatest evidence of his mind and of his wisdom is his plan of salvation. Who hath first given to him, that it and it shall be recompensed unto him again? Now listen to this last verse 36. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. Now, buddy, that's a good verse to apply to salvation. The salvation that we have in Christ Jesus is of him. It's not of us. He is the cause of it. He's the one that brings it to pass. He's the one that before the world ever began determined to send his son to pay the debt of his people. You see, this salvation is of him. It's not of us. It's of him. And the reason why you need to see that is he deserves the glory for it. For of him. And the salvation is through him. We wouldn't have it if he never brought it to pass. Many times we mention how he opened our eyes and how he opened our hearts. Lydia, seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened. And we talked about his calling and how he called us out of darkness into his light. Salvation is of him and it's through him. If you want to be saved, it's going to have to be through the Lord. And to him are all things. To him are all things. All the glory belongs to him for this salvation. And he says that at the end of the verse, to whom be glory forever and ever. Well, folks, that concludes chapter 11. I hope it's been a blessing to you, and I hope you've been made to rejoice in the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Listen in again next week as we get into Romans chapter 12. May God add his blessings.